Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. It's great to see everybody here. If we could find our seats, we will get started with the service. And once you find a seat, grab a hymnal. And we'll go to song number 124 together. Song number 124. God will take care of you. Song number 124. Let's all sing that out together.
Be not dismayed.
Let's open up the service now with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you so much, and we just thank you for everything you do with us, Lord, and through us and through this church. We just ask now that you fill us all with your Spirit. Help us be edified tonight, and help us to sing out loudly unto you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, for our next song, let's go to song number 441. Song number 441, a great song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, song 441, let's all sing that out together.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee, Thou changest. Thou hast been, Thou warrior.
Thanks for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't get a bulletin already and you like one, just lift your hand nice and high. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times. On the right is a list of our expecting ladies. Several events, Mother's Day brunch, May 9th. There's an out-of-town event in Sacramento, Red Hot Preaching Conference, May 15th to the 16th. Our conference, the Anti-Israel Conference, May 20th through the 24th. We should have the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday should be services at 7 p.m. We'll have some other activities. We'll have a Saturday service at 10:30 and then Sunday morning at 10:30. Europe Soul Winning Conference in Germany, June 17th to the 20th. Father's Day floats, June 21st. There's a Fiji missions trip with New Life Baptist Church in July. We have a Mesquite Soul Winning August 22nd. Barbados missions trip September 7th through the 12th. Heritage of the Lord's Conference, October 9th through the 11th. We have the annual Chili Cook-Off and then Faith Award Preaching Boot Camp. So a lot of events there. Several members in the back that you can be in prayer for. That's really all I'm going to say as far as announcements. We'll go ahead and sing our Psalm of the Week, Psalm 150. Psalm 150 in our psalm books.
All right, that was Psalm 150. You can find that on page number 20. Psalm 150. Let's all sing that out together. Singing, everybody. Now, as the offering plates are being passed around, go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. That's Proverbs, chapter number 26.
Proverbs 26, the Bible reads, "As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. The slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the souls that were saved that are at soul winning time. I pray, Lord, that you would enable them to serve you and to get baptized and come to church. I pray also, God, that you bless the sermon this evening and fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit. Help us to pay close attention to the message, listen and learn, and apply it to our lives. I ask for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I want to look here at verse number 13. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And what I was thinking about with this particular verse is how this particular individual is kind of making up this narrative, is making up some kind of a crazy, wild story to excuse his own laziness. Because notice that the Bible is saying, the slothful man saith. So it's not saying everybody makes this particular excuse, but the slothful man makes this excuse. Now, if you think about this excuse, if true, it's a pretty reasonable thing to not go into the street. I mean, if your boss is like, why are you late to work today? Well, there was a lion in my front yard. Would be a pretty legitimate excuse for that particular day, right? But, and again, he's using this example because it would be a legitimate excuse. But here's the problem. It's kind of crazy. It's wild. It's not very realistic. It's not going to happen. And even if that was the case, though, let's just say hypothetically there was really a lion in the street. In today's world, you know, you could probably call the cops or animal control, but, you know, put yourself in the proverb story. There wasn't any cops to call. There wasn't anybody to call. So, like, if you wanted to defend you or your family, you'd probably have to still deal with that situation. Even if that was the case, you would have to go in the street, at least shoo him off, kill him, something, because you wouldn't want to allow that lion to terrorize your cattle, your livestock, your family, your children, or harm your family. You'd have to deal with that particular situation, okay? So again, it's painting this person as being slothful. But what I thought kind of relates to this particular situation or this particular verse is just that of conspiracy theories in general and how sometimes people, they start to believe things or go overboard. And it's kind of a result of being lazy. It's kind of a result of being a sluggard that they kind of invent all these narratives and all these ideas out there. And it's really just a way to excuse their own laziness or slothfulness. And so I have a sermon this evening. It's called Conspiracy Crazy, all right? It's called Conspiracy Crazy. Now, I'm going to give a caveat before I preach the sermon, all right? I'm not picking on anybody, okay? I am sure that I will bring up some conspiracy theory that you're like, oh, Pastor Shelley doesn't know the truth about that or something. Or Pastor Shelley doesn't understand or something or whatever. And look, I'm not preaching the sermon because I don't think there's some legitimate conspiracy theories. There are. I'm not saying that there isn't some nefarious things going on in this world. There is. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be skeptical. Of course we should be skeptical. And I think that our group does a very good job of already being skeptical. I think that our church specifically already is very awake. You know, we're very enlightened. We really kind of have an idea of what's going on. We probably, if anything, venture on sometimes going a little overboard than we do not necessarily embracing certain narratives, okay? And so, you know, I want us to be careful because I think sometimes what can happen is people through laziness end up believing or getting sucked into some really over-the-top or crazy, weird conspiracy ideas and thoughts and stuff like that. And often it's coming from laziness, coming from being slothful. If we keep reading, it says here in verse number 14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it to his mouth. I mean, it's painting this picture of this guy. He's so lazy. He's so slothful that he's not even, he doesn't even want to be able to pick his arm up to feed himself. It's kind of the picture that's being painted. It's someone that just going to make an excuse for every single situation, an excuse for every single reason. Go back to chapter 22. Go to chapter 22, verse 13. Proverbs 22, verse number 13. And the Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. Okay? So there's this lion, all right? And again, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not like trying to pick on anybody. And obviously, you know, when it comes to certain issues, we press really hard on them. You know, I was thinking about we say like the Pledge of Allegiance, or we sing like our national anthem, or any of those kind of things. We're talking about the land of the free and the home of the brave. I think we should be brave. We shouldn't be cowards to the lions out there. If there really is a lion, we should, you know, face that foe and go out there. We shouldn't be the slothful man, but. Now, let's talk about the Jews for a moment, all right? But let's talk about this. There is an attitude in our country, there's an attitude in our world right now that says the Jews control our world and they've ruined it, and so there's no point in even trying anymore. It's basically this apathetic attitude out there that acts like, oh, what's the point in getting a job? The Jews are going to control me. Every job's controlled by the Jews, and hey, you know, I can't buy a house because Jews, and I can't work out because Jews, and I can't be healthy because Jews, and, you know, I can't get a girlfriend because Jews. I can't get married because Jews, right? I can't do the things that I want because Jews. And look, hey, I'm having an anti-Israel conference, okay? I believe that the nation of Israel has problems. I believe that, hey, our banks are obviously controlled by a certain group of people, right? I get that there can be some legitimacy to some conspiracy theories out there. Like this, here's a fact. I know there's really lions in the world. Is the point of this parable saying lions don't exist? Is the point of this parable saying lions aren't a real threat? No. Lions really exist. Lions are a real threat. The fact that it's in your front yard and going to kill you is what's fake, okay? The fact that there's a Jew in your front yard that's going to kill you is fake, okay? You know, when you show up and awkwardly just walk up to a girl and you're just like, have a husband? And then they're just like, no, that wasn't the Jew's fault, okay? You not working out, you not, you know, having money and doing these things is not the Jew's fault. And what can end up happening is you go overboard on this conspiracy theory, and what you're doing is you're using that to blame something that's really your fault. It's your own laziness. It's your own slothfulness. It's just your problem, and you're not actually addressing the issue. And look, even if there really was a lion in the street, wouldn't you say, okay, I'm going to get my gun, and I'm going to shoot the lion in the face or whatever, okay? I'm going to at least take it to task. I'm going to, you know, face the foe. I'm going to be like David. I'm going to face, you know, Goliath. I mean, what is David's reaction to the lion? The Bible says that he grabbed him by his beard and he smote him and he killed him. What is David's reaction to the bear? He did the same thing to the bear, and then he did the same thing to the Philistine. And you know, if we can have men like David facing real Goliath in his life, how cannot we face whatever foes and Goliaths and whatever oppositions that we have in this world as well? And in many cases, you know, I think that it's legitimate to say, you're your own worst enemy, not the Jews, not other people. And look, we should address problems in our society. But, you know, I've heard this said, and it's true. It's like the Jew didn't make you get a payday loan. The Jew's not the one forcing you to not work out. The Jew's not the one forcing you to make bad decisions and sin. In many cases, it's us causing ourselves to sin. Now, whether they're making it easy or not, yeah, we could talk about that. I'm not saying there isn't legitimate criticisms. I'm not saying that I don't believe in conspiracies. What I am saying is that, hey, a lot of times it's people just excusing their own laziness. That's what this proverb is bringing up, and that's what I'm seeing in our society, in our world today. And you know what? Don't allow yourself to get sucked into this apathetic attitude where you're not willing to fix yourself because economy bad, because Jews, because whatever. You know, in some cases, being a man is just dealing with issues. In some cases, being a man is just going out and working hard, addressing issues, fixing problems in your life, instead of just always being, woe is me, or there's just, everyone's out to get me, I can't really succeed, I don't have any hope, there's just a lion, you know, causing me to not be successful. You know, in many cases, you're being lazy, you being slothful, you being a sluggard is the real problem. Go to Proverbs chapter number 14. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Now, I'm just trying to prove a couple of biblical points. I'll make a little bit of application at the end, but number one, a lot of times people get into conspiracies because they're lazy. And let's just be honest. When you're lazy, you're just rolling around in your bed. And then you're rolling around in your bed watching YouTube. And here's the thing about YouTube. It already censored all the good conspiracy theories. So what's left is trash in many cases. What's left over on YouTube? If you're doing, quote, research on YouTube now, it's bad research, okay? Because in many cases, most of the things left on YouTube are PC, they're politically correct, they're watered down, they're confused, they're propagandized. Like, they already left all the trash on YouTube. All the good stuff left it. But then the people say, oh, I saw this documentary on YouTube, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, you know, people don't get rich watching YouTube. You know, people get rich making videos on YouTube, making videos for YouTube. Some people get rich working hard. But, you know, people really, you don't get money by just watching things. There's not a professional watcher. I'm a professional YouTube watcher. And here's the thing. Even if you could find out every conspiracy theory that exists, you could find every secret detail. You have every single one of Jeffrey Epstein's files. How will that help you in your life? In fact, if you actually had Jeffrey Epstein's files list, you're probably going to die. You're probably like, do you just stay away from me? Because I don't want the FBI to come, you know, knock on my door or whatever. You're going to be Hillary Clinton or something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to have this kind of information anyways. Doesn't the Bible say that we should be simple concerning that which is evil? So why is it so beneficial to understand every dark secret that exists? Now, again, I'm not saying that we should ignore truth. I'm not saying that we shouldn't expose evil. I'm not saying that I'm against conspiracies. But at the end of the day, a lot of people, they're just wasting so much time, effort, energy, and of their life chasing conspiracy theories when even if they had the truth, they can't even do anything with it. It's like, what are you going to do with that information now that you even have it? And it's really, it's a result of laziness. You're being lazy. Instead of just going and working and making money, you're just watching videos all day. Watching videos all day, listening to conspiracy theories all day isn't going to help you, isn't going to benefit you. You know, according to Alex Jones, it's going to be his last broadcast for the last 20 years. How many people bought storable food from Alex Jones 10 years ago? Is it even good anymore? Like, you might, like, once you hit the expiration date on the Alex Jones storable food, you know, you've crossed a Rubicon, okay? Now, again, does that mean there won't be an end times? Yes, there will be an end times. Does that mean that, you know, self-preservation is a bad principle. No, it's a pretty good principle in general. But in many cases, people go way overboard. They build the bunkers and they get all the storable food and they're just afraid of everything and they're wearing the tinfoil hat. And, you know, in some cases, this is real. And unfortunately, our circle, being concerned with the truth and being more conspiratorial, can get sucked into the stuff more easily, attract that kind of stuff. And we want to try and stay normal, okay? And even if you don't want to be normal, just act normal, okay? Just fake it, all right? Around us, at least. And at the end of the day, you know, why don't you at least just work? Work hard. Hey, this is not going to help you in the career. It's not going to help you in the workplace. You start bringing up all this weird stuff to your boss, you might get fired. They're not going to want to promote you. You know, you should be careful with this kind of stuff, okay? Because at the end of the day, you have to understand that not all things that are true are expedient. Not all things that are true are expedient, meaning it's going to really help you or be beneficial to you in your life. And so I'm just trying to caution you that maybe you're in pursuit of the truth, your pursuit of knowledge in these conspiracies is kind of fueling you to continue being lazy. Instead of, why don't you spend that much time researching some career? Why don't you spend that much time researching the market and investments, or spending that much time learning a skill or getting a job or just literally working? Good point. Oh, man, I can't get ahead because I have to spend 20 hours a week researching Jews. And it's just like, what if you spend 20 hours a week doing a side hustle or a side job or starting a side business or getting skills or learning a foreign language or doing something with your life? You know, maybe your life is going downhill because spend 20 hours a week looking for a girlfriend. I mean, you know, put some real hours in. You know what I mean? I'm just telling you, like, a lot of times people are complaining about stuff. And I'm just thinking, like, you know, it might be just because you're kind of being lazy here. That could be a real, real, real problem. Here's a second problem, is just being kind of ignorant. The Bible says in Proverbs 14, look at verse 15. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. I think a lot of people get sucked into conspiracy theories because they're simply ignorant or they're very simple-minded, meaning they don't know a lot. They're not very sophisticated. You know, a lot of people that have studied engineering, building construction, or been heavily involved in demolition, they didn't fall for the Building 7 narrative. You want to know why? Because they're very skilled, very knowledgeable about building instructions, steel frames, temperatures at which things melt, how office fires can't take down a 47-story skyscraper in 7 seconds. I mean, they're just not going to fall for that kind of a narrative because they just know about, they have a lot of knowledge in this subject, okay? And then there's people that they're not good at math. They'll admit you, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at science. I didn't study much. I don't read much. And then they'll try to lecture me on how the moon landing is fake. And I'm just thinking, like, well, okay, what's your point? They're like, point one, the Van Allen radiation belts. And I'm just like, okay, how did you hear about that? Well, NASA told me about it. It's like, okay. Why, if they're going to have this conspiracy theory, why would they tell you about their problem that you wouldn't have known on your own? You didn't research it. You didn't find it out. You didn't discover the Van Allen radiation belts. But the reason why is because they told me that this is a problem and then how they solved it. And then now all of a sudden I think they can't solve that problem. You don't even understand the problem in the first place. You couldn't even explain to me how much radiation exposure they're getting. You couldn't tell me what that does to the body, you know, physiologically. You can't tell me how much time they're spending. You can't tell me the exact duration, the speed at which they're traveling, how much shielding they have on their particular spacecraft. But you can just tell me it's impossible to pass through. And look, you talk to every one of these guys, and they'll say it's impossible to get through the Van Allen radiation belt. And you're like, you can barely even spell that, okay? And it's just silly to me because, like, someone that actually, like, studies and has a lot of engineering background or maybe worked for NASA or has been in the space program or, like, has, like, a lot of knowledge, they're not going to get sucked into these things. It's people that have very little knowledge in these subjects, are very ignorant in these subjects, And then they just simply start saying things. Well, I watched a YouTube video where it said, you know, that's a problem. Okay, but, you know, is it just because you just don't have a lot of knowledge in this subject? I mean, and a lot of times, a lot of people that believe in these theories, they've never let the other side speak to them either. They didn't read books. They didn't let the other side explain to them. You know, I was watching, I think it was like a Joe Rogan snippet or something. And somebody was trying to explain to Joe Rogan how nukes are fake or something like this. Like nuclear warheads are fake, okay? And their number one proof was that the video camera captured it. There was like video footage of like the nuke, some of the nukes that they would set off, you know, in like the desert areas of America or other parts. And they're like, see, it's impossible. But then it's like, you just ask like, oh, how did they capture the footage? They had a camera underground, and then through a series of a handful of mirrors, they were able to just see visually the nuclear warhead going off. You don't think, oh, wow, we just instantly debunked nukes because camera footage caught it. It's like, yeah, they figured that out. Or it's like, oh, well, on the landing on the moon, how did they have a camera, you know, just to catch Neil Armstrong coming off of the spacecraft? It's like, because there's a camera on the spacecraft. It's like, oh, yeah, well, there's no wind in space. How did the flag, you know, wave or whatever? How's the flag sitting up? It's like, there's a pole just holding it up. It's like just like really simple little things. And look, I went to seventh grade science class. They made me watch an entire movie debunking the moon landing. And I don't know why. It was weird. And it's just like all of their proofs were just really lame. And it was just like, just listen to the other side for a few minutes. And then maybe you'd realize like a lot of these arguments don't even have any reality to them. They're not matching math and science. And look, and if you think that we didn't land on the moon, you can believe whatever you want. All right, I'm not going to tell you what to believe or not to believe, but I think that, you know, you're going a little overboard, and you probably just haven't really considered a lot of facts, a lot of science, a lot of math, a lot of other things that are going on in this world. And it makes Christianity look stupid. I'm sorry. Here's the thing. If we're wrong, it's harmful in any way. I am okay championing unpopular opinions. I will champion them all day long. But I don't like championing things that are stupid or dumb or make us look dumb or unintelligible or just whatever, because it just makes Christianity look bad. Some people think, oh, well, if you believe the earth is 6,000 years old, then you're a flat earther. And it's just like, well, those aren't mutually inclusive. Like, in fact, they did research years ago, decades ago, and like almost half of America believed that the earth was under 10,000 years old. Not that long ago, whereas the number of flat earthers has always been less than 1%, you know, at least in America's history. Because, you know, it's probably more now than it's ever been. And it's just because of the escalation of the internet again, laziness, and simple ignorance. Just simple, simple ignorance. You know, some people don't even believe that the earth is spinning. This idea of geocentricity, where the earth is not spinning, and in fact, the sun is revolving around the earth. Okay, it's spinning around the earth. But here's the thing, it's just simple ignorance again, because there's a French guy, Foucault, who built pendulums, and they built them all over the entire world, proving the earth spins. Like, it's not even a question whether or not it spins. Foucault's pendulum has already proven beyond any shadow of a doubt. This is NASA. This is hundreds of years before NASA even thought of existing, okay? You have Foucault's pendulum. You have all kinds of different proofs. People have understood a lot of these things. And it's just really frustrating because they make Bible-believing Christians look bad when they start spouting nonsensical talking points. They get up and they just say things that just aren't reality. I heard another one. It was saying that, you know, it's denying certain things about special relativity because Einstein is, you know, related to it. And again, some people think that Jews are incapable of even inventing one thing. They think that Jews are just incapable of even forming a sentence, basically. And because they're bad or something. It's like, I personally believe Jews are probably some of the smartest people on our planet. They typically have the highest IQs. You know, you look at some of the things that Jews have created, it's very smart. I mean, it's very smart what they've done. You know, you look at some of the works of Hollywood, while they might be wicked, they're wicked smart. I mean, look, the musical compositions that they have created, many of the movies and the ways that they've been able to invent capturing films and just the inventions of banking and insurance, you know, insurance and all kinds. I mean, the things that they did are pretty inventive. The fact that they could pull off Building 7 is impressive. The fact that they can get the entire American populace to literally believe that we are bombed by terrorists and that the passport survived. You know, I'm just thinking like, wow, these people are in some ways mad scientists and evil geniuses. Now, I'm not saying they're not evil, but it would kind of be silly to sit here and say that they're stupid on top of that. In many cases, they're really smart. I mean, they're breathing in a lot of oxygen, folks, okay? You got to think that they got some brain power there. And at the end of the day, it'd be naive to sit here and consider that your enemy isn't smart. According to the Bible, the unsaved is just wiser than God's people in many cases. I mean, that's just what the Bible actually says, that the people in this world are wiser in their generation in many cases than God's people. You know, because think about it. They're not spending time reading the Bible. They're not spending time serving God. They're just spending all day, every day, figuring out how to make money, invent things. Just they only live in the flesh. So in many cases, they outsmart us in the flesh. They have a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of unsaved people in this world that are just really smart, really hardworking, very skilled, just very impressive, okay? But the problem is that to God, the legs of a man aren't impressive. The brain of man is still not impressive, and the wisdom of this world is still foolishness with God. But you have to admit, I mean, Elon Musk has invented some pretty cool stuff, at least his underlings. I mean, you have to admit, AI is kind of crazy. The fact that cars can drive themselves across town with women drivers is insane. I mean, the amount of variables in driving with cameras, and I mean, we're talking about quick response times. We're talking about all the crazy stuff that's going out on the road, dangers, and I mean, that's like unfathomable. You know, Elon Musk's technology where he's sending space rockets into the sky, into the air, and then landing these rockets back, the amount of science and mathematics necessary to execute such a plan is incredible. It's incredible. Our infrastructure, I mean, it doesn't matter what system you're talking about, whether it be our trash systems, our electrical systems, our water systems, they're genius in many cases. And they have some really smart people that have done a lot of really smart things. Our military, very intelligent. Some of the weapons that we have, some of the things that we've done. I'm just telling you, like, it's just silly to sit here and have zero knowledge about a subject, watch YouTube video, and then just try to discount huge disciplines of knowledge, huge numbers of people that literally are employed and work in certain industries. And it's just very off-putting. It looks bad. And for the most part, if you just don't know about a subject, you know what you should do? You should just shut up about it. And again, in the day of today, people just are very simple and they just believe anything they hear. As soon as they hear it, they just immediately believe it. They just think it's true. And it's just funny to me that they bring up proofs that they wouldn't even known about if NASA hadn't even told them. It's like, okay, it's silly. Go if you would to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Point number one of how people get trapped in a crazy conspiracy theories is because they're lazy. Number two is because they're just simply ignorant. They just don't really know about the subject, and so they get sucked into it. You know, there's this weird idea out there that says that the Bible is a Jewish trick. That the Bible is a trick to basically subdue people and cause them to just be in submission to the Jew or something like that. Because they see Zionism, and they see a lot of evangelicals being sucked into a lot of Zionism and being subservient to Jews. So then they just falsely acclaim, well, the Bible teaches this. And it's just like, have you read the Bible? It's like anybody that's read the Bible isn't going to sit here and say, like, this book is just saying love Jews, you know. Like, you read the New Testament, it's not like Jesus is just like, Jews are awesome. You know, there's a lot of gnarly verses about the Jews in the Bible. In fact, you hear argue, like, what's the most anti-Semitic document in the world? It's probably the Bible. It's probably quotes from Jesus. I mean, the Holocaust, you know, museum or group or whatever, they were trying to say, like, the definition of anti-Semitism was many quotes of the Bible. Because, look, but again, there's this theory out there for people who have not read the Bible, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, the Bible's a Jewish trick. I don't even want to read that. I don't even want to get sucked into that because I just know Jews are bad, so therefore I'm not willing to read the Bible. It's out there. Again, someone that's ignorant of a subject can often get sucked into lies. Think about how many people just don't read their Bible and they're going to a bad church. Why? Because it's just easy to get sucked into lies, sucked into Mormonism. And I mean, think about how stupid Mormonism is. I mean, Mormonism is teaching that Jesus and Satan are brothers, that Elohim came down and had relations with Mary, created Jesus. He was just a normal person, became a god. You'll become a god too if you wear special underwear and come to the temple and get married and do all the Freemasonry signs. I mean, the whole thing is just insane. How does someone get sucked into that? Because they're just ignorant of the truth. They're ignorant of the Bible. They're ignorant of Joseph Smith and things that he taught in his life. They're ignorant of the fact that everybody hated him so much they just went into jail and threw him out of a window and killed him because he's just a false prophet and nobody liked him. And he was ran out of every area that he was in because he was just a weirdo and a freak. But it's like, again, people don't know these kind of things. People don't understand the origins of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't understand that their leaders have already given false prophecies of Jesus Christ and that they failed repeatedly. The great disappointment. You know, all these different things. They don't understand, you know, in some cases, the Seventh-day Adventists don't realize they're following Ellen G. White and following a woman and following all of her ramblings and crazy beliefs and crazy teachings. People often are very ignorant. They don't read the Bible, and it's easy to be lied to and sucked into. This applies to all areas of life. If you don't know something, you can be easily tricked about it. So if you don't know something, if you're ignorant of some area, be cautious with that area. And more importantly, you should just learn a lot. You should just be a lifelong learner and grow in knowledge so that you won't be, you know, taken advantage of. I mean, the Bible tells us to go to church to learn from pastors and teachers so that you won't be easily beguiled, that you won't easily be tricked, that you won't be like tossed to and fro like children, carried about of winds of doctrines and false, you know, lying heresies. But here's another thing that can kind of happen, and here's another problem, is that people get sucked into, you know, weird narratives because of indecision. It says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. There's just constant conspiracy theory and just fear-mongering about our economy, our world. I mean, I heard a pastor get up and say, if you're actively, you're in college, enrolled, getting a software job, you should immediately quit and become a farmer because AI. That is crazy. That is just crazy. And that's what this is saying. Like, if you're just so afraid of everything, then you, in many cases, just you won't do anything. And look, indecision is devastating. Go to James chapter 1. Go to James chapter number 1. Indecision is one of the worst things you can do. It's so much better to just pick a lane and just get in there and not change. Now, sometimes we have to change. I get it. Sometimes we need to adapt. I get it. But being indecisive is bad. It'll be the worst thing driving. You cannot be indecisive as a driver. Pick a lane. And if you're coming to a fork in the road, indecision will kill you. You have to just pick a side. You have to pick a lane. And in life, you have to pick a lane. Think about how much money is wasted in our economy and in our country today because of career indecision. How many youth are going to college and you'll ask them right now, hey, what are you studying? What are you majoring in? I don't even know. How is that effective? How many people just go to college on a whim? They don't even know why they're there. They don't even know what career they're getting. They're not even sure what studies they're getting. They don't even know what job they're aiming for. Like, all of this indecision wastes so much time, so many resources. And in fact, I just hate our system. This is a tangent, but I hate our system because it's really hurting the youth in a lot of ways. You know, instead of a young man going out and working from 16 to, let's just say, 20, 21, 22, and taking all of the money that he's making and just putting it in the bank or putting it in investments, or putting it in real estate or something and staying with his parents for free, they'll leave mom and dad at 18 and they'll borrow money to go to college and they'll just rack up $100,000 in debt. And then all of a sudden now they have to just pay bills, pay this debt. They have no money. And it's just like you're basically just harming yourself. It'd be like chopping off both your feet before you go on a marathon run. It's just like, it's just not a very good idea in many cases. Now, look, if you know I'm going to school because I'm going to become a doctor, and I know when I graduate, I'm going to get this job that's going to pay $1 million a year, then it's okay to rack up $200,000 in student loan debt. That won't hurt you in the long run. But you know what? You go to college for 8 years, and you just goof around and get a general business degree, and you get all the student loan debt, and then you just go get a sales job afterwards because you have no skills. You know what? That was a bad move. And that indecision is going to cause you all kinds of problems. You don't have to go to college to be successful. You can go to college and be successful. I'm not sitting up here trying to say college good or bad. What I am saying is indecision bad. And you have to think about, hey, is the college path even make sense? Does this job even make sense? Where am I headed? What am I trying to do with my life? And the people that are constantly like, I don't know what to do with my life, are going to fail. What you should do is you should think of this. Hey, who's successful? And then go ask that successful person, what did you do? And this is what you'll hear. Well, I wanted to be this, and then I just worked really hard to be this, and then I did that. It's like, hey, I wanted to own my own business, and I did it. Hey, I wanted to be a doctor, and then I just became a doctor. You know, no one just accidentally becomes a doctor. You know, no one accidentally becomes a lawyer. No one accidentally has their own business. No one accidentally is successful. People are successful because they tried really hard. They had a vision, and they worked really hard, and they accomplished that particular vision, okay? James chapter 1 talks about this. Let's look at verse number... Let's just get some more context. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is a strong warning from God saying you don't want to be double-minded. And what is the main context? Wisdom from God. Hey, God, I want to know what to do with my life. Well, if you don't ask in faith, you know, you're not going to receive that. You know, here's a way to kind of ask that question and not really have in faith. It's like you want God to tell you what to do with your life, but you won't read your Bible and you won't go to church. Well, don't expect for God to answer that prayer. You know, if you're reading your Bible and you're praying, you're seeking the Lord, hey, he can give you wisdom and he can help you understand what to do with your life and know where to go. But at the end of the day, you also have to realize that God is not going to come down from heaven and tell you which application to fill out. God is not going to come down from heaven and tell you where to live. This is why God is good, because he gives you free will. He says, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But if you don't actually go to a tree and actually pick some fruit off of it, you won't eat. Okay? You have to just pick a tree, and you have to go and get that apple, and you have to take it off the tree, and you have to eat it. And in many cases, people today, young people, are being told there's no jobs, AI's killed all the jobs, the economy's bad, there's just all this fear-mongering, there's all this conspiracy, there's all this just, oh, we might be in the end times, and I think that the beast is coming, and there's no point in getting a job, and I, you know, just women are bad, I don't want to get married, and feminism, and just all this stuff, and it's just like, quit listening to all the conspiracy theories and stop being so lazy. Just find a girl that you like and say, I'm all in, and marry her. And don't be double-minded about your wife. Be all in on your wife. Hey, I want to have kids. Just go all in. Just say, I'm just going to have kids. Hey, pick a career that's going to make money that you'll be satisfied with, and just go all in on whatever career, whatever job, whatever idea you have. And, you know, the reason why many people are not successful is they just won't pick something. They won't just do something. They're just constantly just, you know, checking the wind. You know, like, I don't know. Because again, by checking the wind, what are they afraid of? I'm afraid I'm going to invest, right? I'm afraid I'm going to sow this seed and there's not going to be any product from it. But the Bible is saying, sow thy seed. Just do something. Just invest in something. And look, typically, if you just work really hard and invest in something, it just works out. Look how many terrible businesses exist and do great. I mean, Burger King is still in existence, folks. Okay, I'm just thinking like, how? Like, who even eats? How many restaurants do I pass by? And I'm thinking like, who even eats here? You know, or who shops at this store? I'm just fascinated. I go to this, every once in a while, every blue moon, you know, I have to go to the mall or something with my wife. And I'm just walking up and down. I'm thinking like, how does this store even exist? There was this one, it was like a cereal bar. And I'm just thinking like, what in the world? People go to the mall to eat cereal? I'm just so fascinated. I'm just like, dude, you're struggling to be successful. This guy was like, I think we should eat cereal at the mall. It worked out. Now, it may not work out for long, but I'm just saying, like, he actually saw that dream come to life and really executed it. But I guarantee he went all in on the cereal. You know what I mean? He went all in and he sowed that seed. And look, even if he fails, even if it just totally just is a complete failure, I guarantee that guy knows so much more now about starting a business, getting a business license, creating that, what it means to be a director, paying taxes, finances, all this stuff. And then maybe he's like, okay, fine, I'll just do a new business. But I know so much more now and I have so much more experience. And look, you know, if you just sow your seed and you're just constantly working hard, God can give you wisdom and God can bless you eventually. But people that are, you know, conspiracy crazy, they won't do anything. They won't make any decisions. They're just afraid of investing and afraid of buying and afraid of and getting in some career. Look, I think it's kind of crazy to think that in a technology boom, getting into technology would be a bad idea. But you know what? If someone genuinely is a really hard worker and wants to get in farming, I'm not against you farming. Farming's cool, man. Make some cool, you know, products or whatever. I'll eat them, right? But at the end of the day, you know, whatever you do, just go all in, though. Don't like, well, I'm going to try farming for, you know, a few weeks and see how it works out. You know, you see these some people, they just do like a career for 6 months and a year, and then they go to another career and then another job and then another career. And then it's like fast forward 5 years, and they're still not where they wanted to be. And it's like, well, if you just stuck with one of them for 5 years, you'd actually probably be okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And it's like a lot of jobs, a lot of careers takes 5 or 10 years to get to the point that you kind of want to be at least. And then even then, there's still ways to escalate. There's still ways to improve. Most people, if they really care about making good money, owning your own business is usually one of the only ways to really do that. You know, or having a side business where you're making the money yourself. But it's a lot of stress. It's a lot of work. You know, working for a company can still be very successful. You can still do really good. You can be comfortable. You can focus on other things. There's trade-offs no matter what it is. But here's the thing. Don't get this conspiracy bug where just everything's failed, everything's doomed, all the jobs are gone, robots are going to do my job, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, where good workers are, there will always be opportunity. We're skilled, smart, hardworking people. There will be opportunity. Go to Proverbs 26. Go to Proverbs 26. I don't want our church to become a bunch of conspiracy crazies. Because, you know, what it ends up being is a church that's filled with lazy, ignorant people that can't make a decision. And look, I know churches that are like that, where it's like all of them are flat-tards and weirdos and whatever. And it's, again, it's the kind of these slothful, lazy, weird people that are very ignorant of things. They're not smart. They say that they can't read. They say they can't put puzzles together. That's what they preach behind the pulpit. And you know, they throw Greek manuscripts around. They throw the Bible in Greek on the ground and call it trash. Yeah. That's because they're ignorant. They don't speak Greek. And it's a conspiracy theory to teach that somehow there was a real Greek manuscript that literally word for word in the exact order said it in the Greek and they all disappeared or something. It's like maybe it's just languages sometimes have to word things a little differently. Okay. It's like to believe that the Textus Receptus is not the Bible in Greek is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And then you see idiots going around throwing a Bible on the ground and calling it trash just because it's not in their language. You have people getting up and just championing stupidity. What is it? It's laziness. Instead of actually learning Greek or studying the subject or using cognitive thinking, they just, I just believe this conspiracy theory because Peter Ruckman taught it to me. Or Gail Ripplinger, you know, taught it to me. It's like, you know, maybe you shouldn't let a woman get up behind your pulpit and teach you a bunch of stuff that no one else believes, okay? And look, you want to talk about a conspiracy crazy? Gail Ripplinger. Gail Ripplinger is crazy, and she is conspiracy crazy. And look, I am as King James is the next guy, but she takes it to a weird, crazy level. Her books are weird. They're over the top. There's bad arguments for the King James Bible, and she has a lot of bad arguments. And then she makes King James onlyism look crazy, look stupid. Ruckmanites make Christianity look bad. Ruckmanites make the King James only position look stupid and foolish because they'll literally say, you can't read the Bible in another language. You have to learn English. You have Sam Gipp on the John Ankerbrook show saying that a Russian can't read the New Testament in Russian or in Greek. He has to read it in English. He has to learn English if he wants the Bible. That's silly. You have, at the same church of crazies, you have a Spanish ministry, and they ordained a Spanish pastor, and he made a video, and he said there is no Spanish Bible that you can use. He said you should use the Portuguese. He said the Reina Vera Gomez 2010 isn't reliable. Use the Portuguese. It's like, that's weird. It's weird again to tell the entire Spanish world you can't even use the Reina Valera Gomez 2010. You have to use a Portuguese Bible now. It's just weird. It's crazy. And it just makes Christianity look bad. And a lot of it also comes from this other point, pride. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 16 now. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You could have seven people that fluently speak Greek explain to you why that matches the King James Bible, but this one idiot is smarter than all of them and is going to tell you why it's trash. Because he's smarter in his own conceit. He's conceited to himself. Like, he deceived himself. He lied to himself. And he's still smarter than every other single person. I mean, it's just weird. Lazy people are some of the most prideful people you ever meet. I've been, you know, involved in homeless ministries. It's weird how prideful homeless people are. I mean, they have no possessions. They're addicted to drugs. They have no money. They have nowhere to go. And you can't tell them nothing. They've got it all figured out. And you know what I've noticed about homeless people? They really love conspiracy theories. I'm telling you, you talk to homeless people, oh, the government is just so bad, and they're in on everything, and everything's bad, and let me tell you about the Jews. Look, I'm telling you, homeless people are up on conspiracy theories, and they believe all of them, and they're into all of them. Why? Because it's this type of person the Bible's describing, a lazy, slothful, prideful, ignorant type of person is the person that gets sucked into all these crazy conspiracy theories because they want an excuse for their laziness. They want an excuse for their slothfulness. And they think they're better than everybody else. And they use pride to shield and be a defense mechanism for the reason why they have the problems in their life. It's not that they're lazy. It's not that they're stupid. It's not that they didn't read. It's not that they didn't work hard. It's, well, everybody else is bad. Everybody's out to get me. It's everybody else's fault. The government's just trying to keep me down, blah, blah, blah. It's like, look, you got fired because you were drinking on the job. You lost your family connections because you borrowed money from them and spent it on drug money. You're homeless because you're lazy and didn't work hard and you burned every personal relationship that you have. And maybe if you're humble enough to recognize you're the problem, you could fix yourself and get out of this particular situation. But in many cases, they won't. Look what it says in verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Saying, you know, someone could be really dumb, but they at least they're humble about it. But a guy that thinks he's really smart, but he's deceived himself, he's lied to himself, he's in extreme danger. It's extreme danger to lie to yourself and to be conceited and think that you're really smart when you're actually not. Go to Psalm 116. Go to Psalm 116. Pride, man. Pride is a killer. Pride. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Everybody always thinks everything they believe and think is right. And they're not willing to be challenged. They're not willing to be honest. Look, when someone asks you a question about a subject that you don't know, I'll tell you, it irritates the fire out of me when someone says yes and they're lying about it. It irritates a lot of people. It irritates my boss. One of my bosses was like this, and it was bad. And I remember warning someone that had gotten hired. I said, if our boss asks you about a coding thing and you don't know, do not say you know. I said, if you don't know it backwards, forwards, and you're ready to write it on a board with no assistance, do not even say you know it. Just be humble about it and just say, like, no, just tell me about it, you know. And this girl just stupidly, you know, doesn't take my advice. 1 hour later, my boss is like, hey, you know what map functions are? You should have done a map function here. And she's like, oh, yeah, I know map functions. He's like, write one right now. And then she's just like, And he's like, I thought you said you knew map functions. And look, he was kind of a jerk, all right? He's like, you just said you knew map functions. Why did you just lie to me? And then she just starts crying and it was bad, all right? I think she only worked like one day or something. But I was trying to warn her. I was saying, look, if you don't know, it's going to be okay. If she just said, no, can you help me write one? He would have just helped her write it. But by saying, hey, yeah, I know what this is, and then you don't know, boy. I remember there was another guy. He got hired. He was supposed to be a front-end expert. And he made kind of a silly, dumb mistake, but I could kind of understand why. But nevertheless, he made the mistake. And so we get in this meeting, and it's just a morning meeting. You have a morning meeting every day. It's just like a normal thing. You're sitting there. And just all of a sudden, the boss is just like, so-and-so lied on his resume. And we're just all like, what in the world? And he's like, he said he's an expert in the front end. Look at this code mistake he made. There is no way he knows front end whatsoever. And the guy just turned red. He didn't even know what to say. And then it was just like, what in the world? Okay. But again, how many people go and interview and they lie on their job interview? It's frustrating. I've done a lot of job interviews, and boy, it's real frustrating when you ask a question like, hey, do you know about this? And they're like, yeah. And then you're just like, okay, tell me about it. And then they just say stupid things. And you're just like, you don't know what you're talking about at all. And in a job interview, it's always a red flag. It's almost always just a no if you do that. It's just so much better to just be honest and say, hey, I don't know very much about this subject. Or, hey, why don't you tell me about it? Or, you know, just even just being humble about what you really know on a particular subject. It's just so much better. And think about it this way. If you say something like that, the person asking these questions will probably just tell you about it and you'll probably learn. If you just say, yeah, I know about that, then they probably won't tell you about it, and then you basically don't become a learner. People that ask questions learn. People that are know-it-alls, well, they already know it all. What's the point in teaching them anything? Know-it-alls don't know anything. People that don't know anything often know everything. And you should go your life being someone that's asking questions. Tell me about it. I want to learn more. Be someone that says, hey, what does this mean? Or explain it to me. Or, hey, I don't know. It's better to be humble than be so prideful and just think like, ah, I just know everything. I understand everything. Those people are very arrogant, just and foolish and stupid, and they're not going to be helpful. They're brutish, as the Bible describes them. Be very careful with pride. It just makes me mad. But here's another point that the Bible makes, and here's another problem, is hasty generalizations. Okay? What does Psalm 116, verse 11 said? I said in my haste, all men are liars. This is every feminist out there, all right? But it's just like, notice that the guy just very quickly dismissed everything because of bad experiences. Again, we could insert, all Jews are liars. Now, it could be 99%, but it's, you know, is it really fair to say all? Is it really fair to say all Muslims are bad, all Jews are bad, all Cretans are bad? I mean, wasn't that the Bible say? The Cretans are always liars. These are bad examples in the Bible. It's bad to make these sweeping generalizations and just damn everybody. You know, what would be another example of this? All cops are bad. Who's seen that? ACAB or whatever. Yeah, all cops are bad. All politicians are bad. All governments are bad. Anytime someone starts saying these kind of things, it's not a good way to live your life. You have to at least consider there's going to be exceptions. There's going to be, because you know what people I hear? All churches are bad. But is that true?
No.
All Baptists are bad. All Protestants are bad. Now look, if someone said all Catholics teach false doctrine, I'd be like, yeah, I agree with that. Okay. But I don't think that all Catholic people are just bad. Like, some Catholics are just kind of ignorant. Some are kind of simple. Some are pretty sincere, and they're just sincerely wrong, and we'd like to win them over. But look, I mean, when it comes to the false prophets of our day, I'm not saying we can't call them out. I'm not saying that our Congress and that our government doesn't have serious problems, and most of them are very corrupt, if not virtually all of them. But I don't want to get to the point where I'm just being sucked into some strange idea or taking things over the top and just all Muslims are bad. So then what do people get sucked into? Zionism and endless wars for Israel, because they think every Muslim's bad. And they've been demonized through 9/11. That was a lie. They've been demonized on the television. They've been demonized by Jewish propaganda. I mean, every movie, the Muslim terrorist is a crazy person. When's the last time you've seen a Hollywood movie where there's a Muslim that was a good character? The Muslim was not a terrorist or something. You know, again, there's always this propaganda. There's always these ideas out there that are infiltrating your brain. And then there's so many boomers today. There's so many people in my life today. They think that it's totally righteous that we've made Gaza a parking lot. They think that women and babies being slaughtered is just acceptable collateral damage. I've heard people tell me, I think we should literally nuke the Middle East. I've had someone tell me they thought we should just take all of our tanks and just drive all the way through Mexico and just slaughter anyone and everyone just to get rid of the cartels. I mean, I'm just like, wow, how can it be so hardened towards groups of people like this? Because they get this hasty generalization where they just demonize whole groups and just hate whole groups. And look, it's a bad way to live your life. And look, I don't hate all Jews, but I hate the religion of Judaism. And we want to decouple these ideas. We don't want to become Hitler 2.0, where we just demonize people because of ethnicity. And look, people get mad at me because they're like, oh, this guy's against Israel. But then they'll be like, oh, but he's not against every ethnic Jew? He thinks that some ethnic Jews that believe in Jesus are okay? It's like, this guy's wicked. It's like, he thinks black people who believe in Jesus are okay? Arr! You know, these white nationalists that just demonize all black people. It's wicked. It's wicked. It's wrong. I don't agree with it. There's lots of black people I love. They're some of my favorite people in the world.
Amen.
You know, does that mean that there isn't some bad black people in the world? Yeah, there is. Is there some bad white people in the world? Yeah, there is. I also don't make the opposite hasty conclusion that all white people are magically good or something. That's silly. That's a weird way to live your life. You can get sucked into these bad narratives by just making hasty generally. All men are liars. And look, some people have this attitude so they won't make friends. They won't get into a church. All pastors are bad. They'll say, I won't go to church. I won't tithe. I won't serve God. I won't read my Bible because all pastors are bad. All churches are bad. All people are hypocrites. All Christians are bad. Look, these are bad ideas. It's a wrong way to get and get yourself in trouble. Go over to Proverbs 14. I just have a couple of verses and we're going to finish, but you know, people go overboard. Here's just some conspiracy theories. And I even asked AI to give me some conspiracy theories to think about. But I'm not saying that all of these are fake. I'm just saying these are just things that are out there. Some I totally think are fake. Some I think are real or whatever. But it was saying like the moon landing, you know. And again, I personally think we landed on the moon. Sorry if you don't like that, all right? If you get all mad about it. But I think some people take this way overboard. Geocentricity. You know, man, flat earth, you are one of the dumbest people on the planet, okay, around the globe. But again, you know, it gets into 5G, people where they're knocking down 5G towers, people that, you know, think that birds aren't real. This is a conspiracy theory. that birds are. I mean, I don't get some of these, but some people they'll say the internet isn't real. They say it's just all bots now and it's all fake. It's just like, no. There is a lot of bots. There is a lot of fakeness on the internet. But just to say it's all fake and say that there's not real people on the internet, it's just again, a hasty generalization going way over the board. Some people think the earth is hollow. Well, it's actually filled with hell. Denver Airport has bunkers. I don't know. I'm just that there are governments filled with lizard people. That there was microchips in the vaccines. Okay, I just asked AI, give me this list. Sandy Hook. Here's the thing. I think there's a lot of legitimate questions about Sandy Hook. But you know, does it really benefit me to just look into it all day, every day? It says that COVID was not legitimate. I'm just like, does anybody even believe it's legitimate? I don't know. Climate change. It said the Smithsonian is hiding giant skeletons. Has anybody heard about this one? I don't know. I don't even know about this one, but it's crazy. You know, obviously there's the Jewish conspiracy theories, or governments are bad, or all cops are bad. Here's a couple, too, that just I think people can go a little overboard, is on food and medicine. And again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm not mad at you. You can believe whatever you want. But sometimes people get to a point where they're just like, all milk is bad. You know, we had a pediatrician tell us, like, milk is just bad. And she's like, every animal, you know, drinks its own milk. But we're the only species that drinks animals' milk. And I'm just thinking, like, my dog would drink milk, you know, if you gave it to it, or a cat. Wouldn't a cat? I mean, doesn't cats drink milk, you know? It's like I don't think this logic is even true, but even if it was, okay, yeah, I've never seen a squirrel cooking a filet mignon either. But, like, I'm going to eat filet mignon, okay? Like, I'm not an animal. I'm superior to the animals. And, you know, I don't think that drinking milk is bad, especially when the Bible is saying that the land flowing with milk and honey, when it's comparing milk to the Word of God. But, you know, some people just get overboard. You know, some people think all water is bad. And like, it's just all, there's just chemicals in all the water and blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not saying there isn't some bad waters out there. I'm just saying sometimes I think people, they think that everything's bad. All milk's bad. All water's bad. All bread's bad. All food is bad. Everything's causing cancer. And it's just like, what do you do? You know, I mean, you know, and again, people think everything's killing them. Everything's harmful. Everything's causing cancer. And look, I'm not saying there isn't legitimate safety concerns in our world. I'm not saying that we shouldn't research and be safe. I'm not saying these things, but it's just like, you could get so hyper-focused on all of these things being bad and causing all these cancers and all these things you can't even prove. You know, someone told me it's like living near a golf course will kill you or something. It's just like living near telephone poles will kill you. And, you know, being near cell phones, well, we're all doomed, you know. Cell phones will kill you and AI is going to kill you. And we're basically the Terminator's real. It's going to, you know, Skynet. And just, I mean, there's just endless things that are killing you, let alone give a woman a laptop and WebMD, okay? And it's just like, you know, your kid coughs, and now it has pneumonia, you know, and now it has Lyme disease and some rare cancer that no one's ever heard of, and they're going to die. And it's just like, ah, okay, you can go overboard, okay? And what is the solution? Well, obviously doing the opposite of what we've been talking about. Instead of being lazy, working hard. Instead of being ignorant, educating yourself. Instead of being indecisive all the time, just making clear decisions. Instead of being prideful about you know it all, maybe being humble and considering other opinions and not making hasty generalizations. What is another solution? Proverbs 14, verse 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. If you just go online and you're just listening to all these weird ideas and crazy conspiracies and crazy things, like it's just going to not help you that much. You know, you should just spend most of your life just working. Just working hard, doing what you know is right. Spending time doing what is good. There is going to be things that are microscopically harmful to you that you're going to do through ignorance. And guess what? God's grace is there to cover you. Don't you know that the body purges all meats? That's what the Bible said. You know, if people can be drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes all day and live to be 100, you're probably okay eating bread. Right? I mean, just think about it. It's like, oh, but this bread isn't the best bread in the world. Okay, I get it. Have the best bread then, please. But you know what? You'd be better off just spending more time just working than researching. I just research all day long about subjects you really don't know much about, because I guarantee you there is an article saying that everything is good and bad. There's an article saying milk is good and bad. There's an article saying sourdough bread is good and bad. There's an article saying red meat is good and bad. There's an article saying eggs. So if you want, well, I found an article that said this is bad. Sure. There's an article saying I'm bad. It's a lot, okay? There's not that many saying I'm good, all right? I'll get it, all right? But there's plenty saying that the Bible is bad. I mean, are you just going to just cherry pick research and just believe anything and everything? You know, we should be a little bit more balanced, learning what the Bible says, caring what the Bible says, emphasizing those things, just working hard on what we know is right instead of getting just into all this weird stuff. One other thought, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. You know, we should spend most of our life concerned with the things that we know to be true. Thinking on things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are good. Hey, going soul winning. Because at the end of the day, you're going to die anyways. We're all going to die. We have limited time. None of us has figured it all out. None of us will understand all of it. But, you know, spending your whole life chasing conspiracies really isn't very expedient. Okay, and unfortunately for a lot of people, when they do this, they get into some things that aren't even true anyways. They get into lies. Don't be someone that excuses your laziness through conspiracies. Don't blame everybody else. You know, work hard, be smart, be humble about it. Don't make hasty generalizations. You know, focus on the spiritual, focus on the things of God. You know, don't be offended if I don't believe in your conspiracy theory or whatever. Or if I said something you don't agree with, you can believe whatever you want. But you know what? Working hard and serving God is really all that matters anyways. Fearing God and keeping his commandments, that's the whole duty of man. You know, knowing all these conspiracy theories and chasing them often just makes your church and your family weird. It's really weird. And I guarantee your wife is probably just not into all these weird conspiracy theories. And ladies, get away from WebMD, all right? Just be careful with all the medical advice out there. Use your God-given intuition in many cases. And, you know, don't be afraid to just make a decision and stick with it, especially when you know it's right. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for your word. I pray that you would help us to not get off balance, that you would help us to not get sucked into lies and weird ideas. I pray that you would help us to not be lazy and just spending all of our time idly watching, you know, lies or nonsense. I pray that you would help us to just, you know, understand the job that you've given us on this earth, that we'd pick something to do, that we'd do with all our might, that we would understand what's good, we'd focus on the good, we'd focus on working hard, we'd focus on what the Bible emphasizes. I pray that you would give us wisdom as we study the Bible and as we read the Word of God, and we work hard to serve you, that you give us wisdom, you'd help us to be successful, you'd help keep us from crazy, weird ideas, and help us to be more normal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, for our last song, let's go to song number 10. Song number 10, something that'll keep you normal, staying near the cross. Song number 10. Let's all sing that out together.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious mountain, free to all the living. Flows from Calvary's mountain, in the cross. In the cross.
Great singing, everybody. You were all dismissed.